I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
This is the 5 o'clock report, 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, commercial-free. I'm Jeff Kaplan, KSL's top story. The battle over school vouchers is heating up at the state capitol. We have multiple reporters working on the story this afternoon. Our team coverage begins with KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe.
The Senate Education Committee is now hearing public comments on this school voucher bill. Remember, it does two things. First, a $6,000 bonus to teachers. And second, it creates a scholarship for parents to get $8,000 to use for private school. The bill has already passed in the House with enough votes to make the measure referendum-proof if the Senate also passes with a two-thirds majority.
We'll continue to follow the bill's progress in the Senate committee. A recording is making the rounds online of a prominent lobbyist behind the push for the school choice bill. In this recording, she says she wants to destroy public education. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz continues our team coverage.
Allison Sorensen is the executive director of the group promoting the voucher program. She was reportedly recorded at a public training for the Utah Fits All Scholarship.
I can't say this is a recall of public education, even though I want to destroy public education. I can't say that. The legislators can't say that because they'll be just reamed over the coals.
The bill's Senate sponsor, Kirk Cullimore, telling reporters that's not reflective of him or the legislature. One senator, Mike McKell, though, wants Sorensen to step down.
I think she should resign. If your stated purpose is to destroy the public education system, you should not have a seat at the table, period.
KSL was not able to reach Sorensen for comment. Lindsay Ertz, KSL News Radio.
And we have breaking news on KSL News Radio. That Utah Senate committee considering the school voucher bill has just approved it and sent it to the full Utah Senate. Meantime, the State Board of Education says they're opposed to the school vouchers bill. Team coverage continues. Here's KSL News Radio's Adam Small.
Board members who were opposed to HB 215 voiced concerns like using public tax dollars in private spaces, tying teacher raises to a voucher bill, and the board having little to no input on the bill so far. Some of those in favor argued that while there are some kinks to work out, the bill is trying to do new things and that it gives another option to students who may not do as well in public schools. 10 board members voted to oppose the bill as it's currently written. 5 voted not to.
At one point, the board considered remaining neutral and discussing the issue with the bill's sponsor, but they voted to oppose the measure. If you're wondering how school voucher programs have played out in other states, Arizona began using something similar to the school scholarship program Utah's considering. Griselda Zatino from our sister station KTAR in Phoenix says their program hasn't pulled many students from the public education system.
The vast majority of these new applicants, or about 75% of them, don't have a history of attending a public school, meaning that most of these are already attending a private school or were being homeschooled. So it's not like many of the new students now eligible are leaving their public schools and benefiting from this new expanded program.
It's called the Empowerment Scholarship Account Program in Arizona, and it's been used by about 30,000 students. The West Jordan 7-year-old at the center of this afternoon's Amber Alert has been found safe.
7-year-old Amelia Arredondo has been found safe and sound. According to police, she was taken by her grandfather's partner, Benice Quintana, who also lives with her at her grandfather's residence. Benice apparently saw the Amber Alert and turned herself in. Police are looking at kidnapping charges but haven't finished investigating or interviewing the people involved.
That's KSL News Radio's Hugo Ricard Bell. Salt Lake City police foiled a kidnapping Saturday thanks to a 14-year-old with the Safe UT app. She notified 911 via the app that she was being held against her will at a home at 300 West, 700 North. Police believe Jonathan Samanji lured her to his home with alcohol and food. When she tried to run away, he grabbed her and drove her to his house. She's been freed. The 26-year-old Samanji has been arrested. KSL News Time 504, an 11th person has died as a result of this weekend's mass shooting in California. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, the community of Monterey Park, California, is mourning the 11 people that were killed by a gunman at a Lunar New Year's celebration. Among the victims was 65-year-old Mei Mei Nan, who loved dancing. Her niece, Fonda Kwan, tells ABC News her aunt would unwind every weekend at the dance studio and get her exercise in.
She loves us so much that she goes every weekend, probably for the last 15 to 20 years now.
Three more victims remain hospitalized. Members from the NAACP and the Anti-Defamation League in Houston are denouncing a proposed bill that would ban citizens and entities from countries including China, North Korea, Iran, and Russia from purchasing land anywhere in Texas. They call the proposal racist and say it would severely restrict legal immigrants and business owners from buying their own homes or businesses. Congressman Al Green says the bill's introduction following this week's mass shooting in California could contribute to growing anti-Asian sentiments.
This is something that we should never forget, because the hate can come from any segment of society. We're here to stop hate.
GOP lawmakers claim the bill is to help address national security concerns and ensure foreign governments don't hold any power within the state. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
KSL News Time 5:06. First look traffic on the 5 o'clock report. Here's Len Thomas.
Southbound I-15, the normal slowing, Murray to Midvale, then picking up some slowing in Sandy, increasing slowness from 98 south down to a previous crash at the Bangor exit. Len Thomas in the KSL Traffic Center.
Thank you, Len. KSL News Time 5:06. Utah has seen quite a bit of snow, but other parts of the country haven't been so lucky.
Where's the snow? That's what many are asking in parts of the South, the Midwest, and the Northeast. New York City with no accumulating snow this winter. Chicago only 6 inches of snow so far, when the normal average snowfall is about 17 inches in a given winter. Baltimore, no measurable snow. Milwaukee, less than 9 inches, the least amount of snow in a decade for that city when it normally gets nearly 2 feet. So what gives? Experts say climate change is keeping the snow away. Warmer temperatures overall above freezing, making storms that would normally bring snow mostly rain events. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Three teenagers were arrested today in connection with a drive-by shooting. Salt Lake police say they saw a green Nissan drive into the neighborhood west of Redwood Road, and someone from the car fired a gun. Police tried pulling the car over, but had to chase it until it crashed 4 blocks away. Nobody was hurt, but all four teens inside are now looking at possible criminal charges. Happy tax season if you've been eager to file your tax return. Today is the first day the IRS will accept it. Susan Spears from the Utah Association of CPAs told Utah's Morning News the IRS will typically send out your refund earlier if you file early, but some returns take longer.
If there are complications with the return, if you're doing some correspondence with the IRS, which can be a challenge in and of itself, then, you know, if it's a more complex return, it's going to take a little longer to get that refund.
Spears says typically refunds should take a couple of weeks to arrive. Trouble for Sequest, the shopping mall aquarium in Layton. Sequest has been fined $4,500 by the U.S. Department of Agriculture for violating the Animal Welfare Act. Among the incidents at the Layton Sequest, otters and other sea creatures have bitten customers or employees during feeding. In one case, a customer was bitten while handing an animal a toy. KSL News Time, 5:08. This is My Minute of News, brought to you by Any Hour Services, electrical, plumbing, heating, and air, anyhourservices.com. I've been standing in the kitchen for a couple of weeks now with a paring knife in one hand, a Glock in the other, just waiting for them to come try and take my gas stove. They're coming. I saw it on TV.
So 22 past the hour now, federal officials considering a ban on your gas stove.
So far, they haven't shown up. And I wondered why. Because the TV said they were coming, so I did some digging. 40% of U.S. households use gas stoves. One member of the Consumer Product Safety Commission reviewed studies about the nitrogen oxides that are released when you cook with gas.
The concern that the commission is citing, childhood allergies and childhood asthma, it's not because of the heat source. The concern is actually breathing in the smoke and the air pollutants.
These studies show nitrogen oxides can irritate your lungs and might have something to do with childhood asthma. So one member of the commission proposed a ban, not against your gas stove, but against gas stoves in new construction. If they enacted a ban, it'd be against new appliances. But they heard the hue and cry. The head of the Consumer Product Safety Commission says, we're not banning gas stoves. It was one guy. They're not even going to vote on banning gas stoves. So you can put down the gun that Obama was coming for and feel reasonably certain the nanny state won't take away your right to roast marshmallows in your kitchen. Freedom!
Minute of News, only on KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time 509, traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. We're brought to you by Granite Credit Union. Len Thomas now from the Traffic Center.
We're heading toward the old sundown. A new crash, northbound I-15 at 2700 South, is on the right shoulder, adding to a bit of existing slowing from 33rd South to the 9th South exit ramp. And then on your way southbound I-15, the normal slowing, Murray to Midvale, picking up some slowing in Sandy and increasingly from 98th South down to a previous crash at the Bangor exit. I-80 is working well in the West Desert and coming down from Parley's, but slowing at the mouth. Mark?
Yeah, a little action on Mountain View corridors. We're getting some delays coming, approaching SR 201 then, in spots down to 3500 South into West Valley. Same with Bangor. Crowds anywhere between California Avenue, 3500 South. So far, the rest of the trip on Bangor looks pretty good down into the south end of the valley. Redwood Road coming out of Bluffdale, much lighter than normal. I-15 is good to go in Utah County as well. Steve.
Well, southbound Foothill Drive, a little busy. Once again, Sunnyside Avenue out to 21st South. Those are scattered slowdowns. Full speeds on north and southbound 15 this afternoon, zipping along with no issues between downtown Salt Lake City and the Brigham City Logan exit into the Cache Valley up Highway 91. Got a good drive there into the Cache Valley, into Logan. Northbound Highway 89, crowded at South Weaver Drive. Got a crash affecting traffic way up there, both directions on SR 83, about 3 miles east of Corinne in Box Elder County. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
The KSL hourly forecast has temperatures hovering right around 30 degrees at 5 o'clock under mostly sunny skies. We'll slide into the mid-20s as we head through 6, 7, and 8 o'clock, low 20s for 9 and 10. There's a slight chance for a few light snow flurries overnight as a weak little storm kind of clips on by. With your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, I'm Kevin Eubank.
We are hopeful for a gorgeous sunset at 5:33. KSL News Time 5:12. We're at 32 degrees now. We go in depth with Maria Chaleos.
Jeff, New York City is cracking down on drivers whose souped-up cars break the noise ordinance. Now, since police officers don't have time to deal with that, traffic cameras have been equipped with sound meters capable of identifying cars, and motorbikes that make an illegal amount of noise. At least 71 drivers have been ticketed during the year-long pilot program. Now, the city's department, they like the program so much they're going to expand its use, and they don't tell you where those traffic meters are, by the way. The new devices, they record the license plates of the offenders. Now, here's the fine, though. $800 for a first offense. $2,600 if you have ignored a third offense.
You know, I got pulled over by a cop for making noise once. Yeah. In New York?
In New York.
Yeah.
What were you doing?
Leaning on my horn in a traffic jam.
Oh, yeah.
And I got a bunch of expletives instead of a ticket. The cop was really upset, said he had a migraine that day. Mm. KSL News Time 5:13. Add another tech company to the list, Spotify, announcing a major round of layoffs.
Spotify now joins Amazon, Microsoft, and Google parent company Alphabet in the growing list of big tech companies cutting costs and laying off workers. In a memo to staff, Spotify's CEO announced the music streaming company will cut 6% of its workforce. That's about 600 employees. Many media and tech companies went on a hiring spree during the pandemic when business was booming online. Now they say they're facing a new economic reality, as both businesses and consumers face higher borrowing costs and the possibility of a recession. Elizabeth Schulze, ABC News, Washington.
Salt Lake City Mayor Aaron Mendenhall says the community's Park Ranger program is having a very positive effect on park usage.
Park use has gone up more than 40% since the pandemic began, and Salt Lakers have kept using our parks that much. As our density grows in the city, parks become so much more than a place to go on a Saturday for a picnic. They're daily use. But we also know that the pressures on our parks have increased across the board, and we needed to have a positive presence in those shared public spaces, and that's what our 16 park rangers are doing.
The mayor counted the park ranger program as one of 66 goals that she set for the city, and they've been achieved over the past year. She says there are still 8 others that are in the process of being achieved. Utah Highway Patrol reportedly stopped a driver going as fast as, are you ready, 170 miles an hour in southern Utah. They say 32-year-old Jacob Reeves was doing 130 when they pulled him over in his Jetta. And then he sped up to try and get away from troopers. Highway Patrol was eventually able to spike his tires. He is now facing 3 misdemeanor charges. The 3 things you need to know this hour. First,
the clergy child abuse reporting requirements bill is being presented in hopes of making it easier for clergy to report abuse. I'm KSL News Radio's Britt Johnson.
Second, the Amber Alert out of West Jordan has been canceled. Police say the missing 7-year-old has been found and the suspect is in custody. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot.
This crash northbound I-15 at 2700 south on the right shoulder, slowing the flow as you make your way from South Salt Lake to the downtown ramps. Len Thomas in the KSL Traffic Center.
Plenty of cold temperatures over the next few days and some passing storms. I'm Kevin Eubank.
It's 32 degrees. Now, KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. Police searching for the why of the mass shooting Saturday night at a dance hall in Monterey Park, California, east of Los Angeles. 11 people dead, several others hurt. Police say the gunman they found dead in a van shot himself. Among those killed, Mei Mei Nhan, a regular at the Star Ballroom. Her niece, Fonda Kwan, says Mei Mei was backing out of her parking spot there.
In the middle of backing out just a bit, she stopped because she saw someone walking by. Attempting to walk by behind the vehicle, so she stopped. And then once that cleared, she started going again, and that's when she was shot.
Police say at the gunman's home, they found that he was making homemade gun silencers and had a lot of ammo. 2 students have died after a shooting at their Des Moines, Iowa school today. An adult employee is wounded. Police Sergeant Paul Perizek.
We were able to get a vehicle description from witnesses. One of our patrol officers spotted that car about 2 miles south of here. We were able to get it stopped. 2 people stayed in the car. 1 bailed out and ran. From there, we deployed a canine. We were able to track that 3rd person down. So all 3 of the potential suspects are in custody.
A bill from House Republicans would require any future releases of oil from the Federal Strategic Reserve be tied to granting more oil leases. White House spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre.
These extreme policies would subject working families to immense financial pain and balloon our deficit, all just to benefit the wealthiest taxpayers and big corporations.
White House says oil companies already have plenty of leases for areas to drill they haven't used. A meeting of a federal task force partly dedicated to protecting consumer rights to FDA-approved abortion pills, led by Attorney General Merrick Garland.
They are working cooperatively to monitor state laws and enforcement actions to ensure that states do not infringe on federal protections of reproductive rights.
You're listening to ABC News.
Now the KSL In-Depth. It's been another contentious day on Utah's Capitol Hill. The discussion today focused on school vouchers. KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe has been following the legislation, and she's joining me live now. So what's the latest this afternoon?
So this bill has now passed out of a Senate committee and is going on to the full Senate. That is the last step. It needs approval there before it is on the governor's desk. And if it gets approval by a 2/3 majority in the Senate, there can be no referendum. There can be no choice to change it other than lawmakers changing something in the future, but no citizen referendum. So
explain that to me. Citizens are allowed to put this on the ballot for everybody to vote on if it doesn't reach a 2/3 vote?
Yes. But the reason we bring up that two-thirds vote is it's likely to pass on a two-thirds majority. So we've heard support. There were only two senators that voted against today in committee, and they were over small little technical things, so not the bill as a whole.
All right. Tell us about the spending involved in this measure.
Yeah. So the spending, there's $6,000 for teachers, $8,000 for parents to take kids to private school or to use. But that's $42.5 million when you add it all up. And that's been allocated this. We learned today from Michael Curtis with the Office of Research and General Counsel actually spoke and explained that that money is not taking away from anything. Here's his explanation.
The Utah Constitution earmarks income tax revenue for four different purposes, one being public education, but the three others being higher education and the support of children and the support of people with disabilities. And so the fact that it is income tax revenue does not make it public education funding by in and of itself until the legislature appropriates that money to the public education system.
So we heard a lot of comments today from people who were concerned about where that money is coming from. That's where it's coming from. It is taxpayer dollars, and we'll continue to follow this bill. We'd expect tomorrow to hear it in the full Senate debated.
The State Board of Education voted against this bill today, but that has no impact here.
Doesn't seem like it does. We also heard from some people with the UEA, the State Superintendent Association, spoke all against, and they spoke, but it doesn't look like they're making any headway.
All right. Thanks a lot. KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe on school vouchers. It's 520. Time for traffic and weather together. Every 10 minutes, we're brought to you by Granite Credit Union. And here's Len Thomas.
Well, as the skiers start to come down from Deer Valley and the ski areas up by Park City starting to get a little busy in the downtown area, and then SR-224 still busy out to Kimball Junction. I-80 moving well as you make your way down to the valley and slowing up to just after the Foothill Drive exit, and I-15 southbound. It had that accident earlier. That kind of started some more slowing than it would have normally been there. But Murray to Midvale and then Sandy on down to Bluffdale. But it's getting a little bit better on that south end of things. Northbound I-15, the crash 2700 south in the right shoulder, slowing the flow a bit, 33rd south to 900 south. Mark?
Looks like Bangor and Mountain View Corridor are a little bit of rush hour backups coming into West Valley, and then Bangor continues with the slowdowns down toward 9800 South Shields Lane. It also looks like we're catching some delays. Redwood Road out of Bluffdale towards Porter Rockwell. The slowest traffic in Utah County is not going to be on I-15, but it will be now on 2100 North Lehigh as you struggle your way from I-15 over to Redwood Road. Steve?
Well, southbound Mario Capecchi Drive getting busy coming down from the hospitals to Foothill. Then you have delays on Foothill Drive as well between Wakara Way out to about 13th South, and then more delays at 21st. Northbound 15 rolling free and clear from downtown, just a bit thick there at 6th North. A little slow there at 2300 North up to Warm Springs Road up to the North Interchange. Davis County, Weber County, all clear after that. From the southbound side of the West Belt, got some slowdowns as well between 1700 North and I-80. Give your savings a boost and open an 18-month certificate with 5.15% APY at Cypress Credit Union. To learn more, cypresscu.com. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Plenty of cold temperatures in the next 7 days. Overnight, we're looking at a low of 19 in Salt Lake City, partly cloudy and 30 for the high on Tuesday. We'll keep it mostly cloudy Wednesday, Thursday as a couple weak storms kind of clip by the northern mountains. Chance of a little light snow there, but otherwise it just stays cold. Lows in the teens and 20s, highs in the low 30s. That pattern holds through the weekend with a little better chance of snow getting to the valleys by Saturday night into Sunday with another round Sunday night into Monday. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kevin Eubank.
The 7 day forecast brought to you by Performance Automotive Bountiful. We're at 34 degrees in Salt Lake City.
Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News, only on KSL News Radio.
Yeah. 2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.